The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast is up and about again in the middle of June. It's been a little Milli Vanilli outside, but the Cats, well, they haven't been Milli Vanilli, have they, Kingy? They've been the old white hot. I've never quite understood that, but they've been in really strong sort of form, haven't they?
Six in a row.
Yeah.
Third on the ladder. Have knocked over. This was a big 3 weeks. Big month, June.
Yep.
Neildy and I talk about that in the commentary. Big month, June. They've won two. Now they got Brisbane Thursday night. Gee, they were lucky last week, though. I don't think they were the better team last week.
We got a definitive answer about who the footy gods barrack for last week.
Footy God
had a massive multi with the Cats, and that ball wasn't going in until he decided to blow it in at the end, and it just curled back. Gary Rowan never, he's a very good set shot. We've spoken about that.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
Yeah. We've talking about that a lot on K-Rock Football. How good a set shot he is, but he generally kicks them dead straight, or if anything, just a slight fade. Mm. Not that big draw where that ball just was going. Well, initially I thought, oh, hang on, this thing's going to fade. It's going to miss everything. Mm. And the next thing you know, the footy god has just sort of exploded a little barometric pressure to the city end, and straight through it went.
Occasionally you can find a draw when you don't think it's coming. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm off the first at Port Arlington yesterday, and I'm a usual fader, which is probably a polite way of saying I sliced the absolute shies and out of it. Off the first yesterday, you played the first at Port Arlington, short par four, about 250.
Yeah.
Off the first, I've drawn it like an absolute dream and landed it about 20 short and rolled it up sort of to the front of the green.
I've gone in for bird.
We were playing Pinehurst.
Who? Oh, the old Pinehurst. It's when you got to get the nuts out, isn't it? They're nuts, aren't they? Pinehurst. What is that? You play every 13th shot of it.
It's a ridiculous. Weird combination of two-man Ambrose and foursomes.
Ray Ambrose.
Ambrose. So there is an ability to draw the ball when you don't expect to draw it, and that's what Gary Rowan did.
He did. It was a good kick, and Cat's got the chockies.
What did you make of the skipper's behaviour on Friday night?
Oh, look, to be honest, I love the skipper. I think he'd probably like to have that back, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And, you know, look, he's played 1,000 games. He's copped 1,000 hits. Yeah, look, let's put it this way, it wasn't his finest moment, but some of the sort of vitriol that I've heard heading in his direction has been sort of a bit over the top.
Because he can creep into that territory, or could creep into that territory, where he becomes that, you know, that veteran that, you know, does some stuff late in the career that people go, oh, that's not ideal. Yeah. And some, you know, Joel Selwood was playing some very good footy at the moment, so it's not that, but you do get those, you've had veterans in the past who are just hanging on and they just do some silly things because their body's not allowing them to do what they used to do.
Which is not him, though.
That's not Joel, though.
Yeah,
no.
That's the thing.
But you just hope it doesn't become that.
You would have thought, you could probably have put that argument up last year. Mm. Or the previous 2 years when he's been sort of below his best because his body's been failing him. But
well, remember the 2018 elimination final when he had that little brain fade against Melbourne, when he had that tangle coming to the interchange bench, and I reckon the Cats might have had a 50 paid against them as a result of that. And you sort of thought, oh, gee, Joel.
Getting
frustrated. Body wasn't allowing him to do what he wanted to do, frustrated with his teammates. And maybe just sometimes the attention gets to him a little bit. Because he's still copping. He's 33. He's playing 23, and he's still copping attention like he's a 25-year-old star.
Yeah, he is. And look, you're not going to... Guys make decisions. You play, how many games you played?
323.
And 320 of them have been, you know, he's a ball player. He hasn't been doing this for years. It was a little bit of a brain fade. And look, he probably wouldn't admit it, but I reckon he'd like, maybe down the track he might. But, you know, I think he'd probably like to have that back. The coach had no option but to support him. Which he did, and all coaches do, and that was good.
Was the Jure one an accident? Because that's what Chris Scott saying Joel Selwood said about the Jure one.
Yeah, and you probably could say that. Yeah, I think the other one wasn't.
No.
The other one was...
No, that was... Yeah.
That wasn't great.
Yeah.
And the other one you could... argue it was an accident. You're looking at the vision, you could say maybe it was. You know, and it depends which side of the fence you sit on. If you're on the, you hate Joel Selwood side, which there seems to be a lot of people for some reason who are on that side. Yeah,
but,
well, that
but
was,
when you're successful,
yeah, that's right. That's 100% right, King. It's the old tall poppy syndrome. I think we love that. And fans love to hate the good players, the opposition, which I have never ever understood. I've never understood that. That sentiment in footy. No. You go to the footy and some people just, the opposition, love to hate the best players of the opposition. I think, well, hang on, like, yeah, please. But anyway, it's... Yeah.
In the end, it's entertainment.
It is.
Yeah, and that player you hate, you would love to have playing for your football
club.
Yeah,
but I never understood that mentality, that people hate the good players in the opposition. I don't... Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're good.
Yeah.
Because you don't like them because they're good. Well, get over it.
If they weren't good, somebody else would be good. You know,
yeah, and, yeah. But we used to, yeah. Anyway, it's but yeah. Look, it wasn't his finest minute, or no. couple of minutes, or if you put them together, it wasn't his finest 13 seconds.
No,
so we'll move on. And look, I don't.
It's been dealt.
Let's put it this way: I don't think you'll see it again.
No,
he's that sort of bloke. You'll think, yeah, geez, I probably shouldn't have done that.
And do you know what?
I'll move on, and everyone will move on, and I'll just sort of cut that out. And he doesn't need to cut that out because it's not something he does every week.
No.
It was just a little bit of a brain fart.
He won't bring that back.
No.
No, that's not something you'll be reaching into the bag for, and that's the old gap wedge that's no longer required.
Yeah, that's that gap wedge that you buy out of the bin and you think, and you swing it in the shop and you think, oh, I am going to be just dicing these into 3 feet, suck back sort of John Rahm style, and then you hit 4 shots with it, you skinny 3 of them, and the 3rd one you hit fatter than the Biggest Loser contestant, and then the next thing you know, the thing's in the shed just gathering dust.
Yep. So yeah. That's where it's going. That's coming out of the... Yeah. That's not one of the 14 clubs Joel Selwood requires.
No, he can pop that one out of the bag because he is playing really well. He was really good again against the Bulldogs. It was a good... I mean, the Bulldogs, I think, Kingy, you said after the game, didn't lose any admirers from that performance. They certainly didn't. Just remember they had Treloar out, Josh Dunkley out, and Norton off for the second half. Correct. The Cats obviously lost Mitch Duncan.
And they lost Steph Martin before the game too.
Yeah, they did. Sorry, there's the other one,
and
Steph
they had,
Martin.
And had Toby McLean playing... Very underdone.
Off, yes. So if you know, it was great for Geelong to win because it just keeps that ladder position, you know, at forefront in terms of top four.
Because I think if they had a loss that they might have dropped to fifth.
And then they had Brisbane this week. Mm. You know, it becomes... But anyway, they didn't. But I just, you know, the Doggies... I think the Doggies would think if we had another crack with some of those players back, Geelong get Duncan back... Is there anyone else though? Really, Myers. Maybe.
Yep.
He's I mean, he's not a. Well, is he? I suppose he could be a difference maker on his night.
Yep.
But he's not a bloke you think, oh wow, you know, he's.
He's going to make the difference.
No.
No.
You hope he does, but you're not thinking he's going to.
Yep.
Look, it was a good performance by the Bulldogs and the Cats. Well, to get that done, so was crucial in that final play.
Yeah, that
tapping the ball forward when he just could. He knew, just smart. I think I said on the coverage that on Friday night that he doesn't get enough credit for being as creative as he is.
Yep.
People just think of him as a real
just a bull.
Yeah, and he's not. He's actually, well, he is, but he's very creative with when he you give him a little bit of space.
Yeah, he knows
he's
how
a very
to use
good
it.
Kick. He's very good by hand in terms of handball to release somebody into a better position. And that tap on, he just knew that he wasn't going to be able to grab the ball without getting wrapped up.
No.
So he just looked ahead, split second, tapped it forward. Suddenly the ball ends
Dangerfield.
Up. Dangerfield was involved. He got involved, Dangerfield, later in the game, which was good.
He will be better for... I don't think his best game is in Brisbane because it's a six-day break. But if the Cats get an 8 or a 9 or a 10 into Essendon, I reckon he'll be ready to go then. He's just got this little group of games together, found his feet. If the Cats get out of this 3-2-1, which well, they're going to be at worst 2-1, but if they were to get out of this 3 and zip and go to what then, to what are they now, 10-3, go to 11-3, knowing that Paddy Dangerfield still hasn't clicked yet, but he's got 3 games under his belt that Geelong potentially have won without him having a massive influence. But just enough of an influence, knowing that his influence is going to improve. That's a good position to be in.
It is. It is a very good position to be in.
They're going
to
miss Duncan.
Yeah, they are.
They played a lot of Friday night without him, though.
Yeah, they did, but he's been in really good form. He's a very good player. Very good player. He's having a really good year. And the issue and the challenge for him will be that he potentially would come into a final first up.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Not really.
The only thing they'll
play him.
The only thing they could hope for is that the VFL side makes the finals and that he can play in the I think he'd be allowed to play in the VFL in that off
week.
Off week, and that might get him, you know, they might.
Is he definitely out to a final? Is that the minimum?
The minimum they're saying is 8.
So, yeah, so he's up.
So round 22.
He's pushing the old you-know-what up the hill.
Yeah, round 22 is his best. Some have got him not playing again this year, but the Cats don't know yet. Like, he's got to have.
So innocuous.
Yeah.
He's lucky.
But you talk about innocuous. You talk about the innocuous ACLs we get. We should be grateful it wasn't that.
Yeah, true. But it wasn't ideal. So Higgins, I thought, was pretty good. All right. Okay, better. He's better than he was the previous week.
Yeah, well, he had to be.
So does he stay in and fill the role, given that Dangerfield's probably not at 100%, or does Dangerfield now play full-time midfield?
I think Narkle now gets to spend a bit more time.
Higgins probably stays in, though, given Duncan.
Yes, he does.
That sort of player.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who comes into the 20th, who becomes the 23rd.
So Myers comes in, does he?
I would have thought, yeah, although 6-day break.
So Duncan out, Myers in.
It might be that simple, yeah.
And then potentially. It's just interesting to see what they
have. Well, Henderson's the other one.
Oh, he's got to come back in too.
Yeah.
So who would go out?
Well, does Higgins get his break now? Does he miss?
Well, not really. He missed some time already.
Yeah, but they were managing him last week,
yeah,
Benny.
Yeah, they weren't really. They were dropping him, but they just wouldn't say that. But he doesn't need a rest. He's had time off.
Narkle wasn't great last week.
He was okay.
There was one little incident, left half forward in front of the social club, that probably Quinton went back and looked at the footage and gone, that might not have looked very good.
No, he be stiff though. You'd think he was stiff if he got ousted.
Yeah.
It was a red hot game, that one.
Yep.
That was red hot. That was finals footy at its absolute best.
Oh,
for four quarters, that was relentless from both teams.
Luke Dalhouse spoke to our media outlet on the Saturday and he said even if Geelong had lost, he would have walked away going, gee, I played in a pretty good game of footy. And Geelong wouldn't have lost any admirers if they had been beaten as well.
No.
He actually said his words were, it probably deserved a draw.
Yeah. It was an absolute cracker.
I think it's the best game we've called this year in terms of, we've called some good Geelong efforts, you know, obviously Richmond, West Coast, but in terms of the contest, the last two have been really good, but I think the Bulldogs Geelong, just for the intensity, it's a pity it didn't have 32,000 people there watching it.
That would have gone bananas. They would have gone bananas. Oh. Absolutely, Coco.
They would have had to have rebuilt the Brownlow.
Coco bananas. So it was good. Really good. Cats are going well. Good players.
Tom
and key
Stewart.
Players are playing well. He was.
So did you see the coaches' votes?
Yeah, he would have got them short. No, I didn't. But he would have got them short.
He only got 9.
Oh wow.
So Scotty's given him 5. Surely.
And who did?
Luke Beveridge has only given him 4.
So who did he give the other? Do you reckon the coaches actually do it?
Don't know. Do they delegate to? Does the bloke punching the stats into the computer? Coaches Association votes EU this week.
Wouldn't surprise me if Half Cat does it. I wouldn't be surprised if. I'd love to know. I reckon it'd be 100-1 that the coaches actually do it. They're not sitting down giving votes. If you were judging by the votes, then who would have Luke Beveridge given the 5 to? Then?
I think Bont might have got 5.
He got 9.
He may have got. Yeah, off the top of my head, I just know that Stewart got 9.
So there were 2 9s, were there?
No, it might have been a 9 and an 8. Bont might have got 5 off the.
And 3 off. Yeah. There was plenty of good players.
He could play the Bont.
Liberatore was good, particularly in the first half. I think he had 7 clearances to half time. And then McRae stepped up after half time. He was quiet in the first half. Yeah, they got some good players, and then when you consider Dunkley and Treloar are out of that midfield,
and then Martin, so they missed English being that third forward with Norton. Well, in the end, so they had to push English up to play in the ruck with Martin out of the side. So you throw Martin and Norton back into that forward line with Bruce. I thought Bruce played all right.
Yeah, he played all right.
Took some nice grabs.
Well, I see Ryan Gardner, the former cat who couldn't get a game, and for obvious reasons, he had Harry Taylor and Tom Lonergan, all these guys ahead of him, but he signed a 2-year deal with the Doggies.
He was going to play at Bell Park 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And run around in the VFL with Footscray when they needed him.
And their defence actually stood up reasonably well.
Cordy was good.
Keith was good. Yeah, Geelong Doggies again, that'd be a cracker.
Qualifying final.
Who do you think is in the grand final? If you had to have $2 on something now, or maybe $20, a Rock Lobster, someone said, go and have $20 on the grand final.
Dogs in Geelong.
Yeah.
I'm still not sold on Melbourne.
No, I'm not sold on Melbourne. I'm sold on Brisbane.
Yep.
And if they get home finals.
Yeah, but they did last year.
Yeah, I know, but they're different. They've had their sort of time. They've served their apprenticeship.
Right.
And I think that they are going to, if you have to play them up there, be really interested to see how the Cats go tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But if you're going to play them there in a final, good luck.
Do you know what you're hoping? You're hoping that Brisbane might just slip out and end up in an elimination final, and that Port Adelaide might sneak up into fourth. And
well, if Geelong, if Brisbane beat Geelong this week, they go above them, don't they?
They do, yeah.
So, I
but there's still 7 or 8 rounds.
Yeah, I know, but well. I don't know what their draw is like in terms of how it finishes.
No.
Because the Cats have got, after the Essendon,
Carlton,
Richmond.
Yeah, so they go Carlton, Fremantle, Richmond.
Is Fremantle in Perth?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Sorry, they go Carlton, Fremantle, Richmond, North in Tassie, and then come home for the 3 in a row at home, which I think go St Kilda, Melbourne, GWS. So the Cats have still got have 4 of their last 8 at GMHBA Stadium.
Yeah.
And then
those final four positions are going to be critical.
They'll beat Carlton. That's 5.
I watched that game the other week, last week. Carlton were putrid.
You want some questions?
Oh, I love questions.
Is Stewart as good as Enright from Botsmaster?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. Jeez, is he as good as Enright? No.
As ahead of his... So he plays his 100th.
Well, is he as good... Are we talking... The only thing you think about Corey Enright is he played for about 7,000 years. And he played for like 800 games.
And won a couple of BNFs. And I think won at least one, if not both of them, in premiership years. If you're winning a BNF in a premiership year...
He was an absolute gun, Enright. I just wonder... Stewart's probably a little bit more dynamic.
Yep.
He'll
take the hanger.
Run off, he's got speed. Enright didn't have, he wasn't slow, but he didn't have sort of great speed. He just read the game so well.
Yep.
I think you're splitting it. It's a bit like sort of saying, you know, I hate doing that, who's better? But, because it's sort of like, imagine someone said to you, who's better? Like, would you like Jen Hawkins or Megan Gale? Like, what are you going to do? Like, what would you do?
I don't know what you'd do.
I know what I'll try.
Right.
They're both absolute guns. But, yeah, if you're sort of splitting hairs, Enright did it for such a long time. Stewart has been doing it for a reasonably, well, a much shorter period of time. And Enright was a gun play reader, very calm under pressure. Stewart is calm under pressure too. Stewart's probably slightly more dynamic than Enright in terms of the way he plays. But they're both... Absolutely.
You can't give a definitive. Yeah, you can't give a definitive.
No, you can't.
Answer.
You can't do that.
Right.
Well, you can, but you can't.
Good question, though, Botsmaster. 100 games for Tom Stewart tomorrow night. Hey, boys, Rock Fox Dog 50. The ruck situation, Benny. I know you're a fan of Asava, but Asava in the ruck hasn't really worked out. Great question mark. Yes, we've won every game he's played, but here is his stats in 2021: 10 disposals, 68.3% disposal efficiency, 10 hitouts, 3.2 hitouts to advantage, 1.3 clearances.
The old clearances.
Yeah, clearances. 2.5 tackles, which majority...
What's the Vector, Hector?
Yeah. Victor Charlie.
What's the clearance, Clarence?
Victor Charlie.
Do you know what that's off?
Is that off?
Flying high.
Yeah, I was going to say... Well, I actually nearly said airplane, but
what's the
move.
What's the Vector, Hector? Is there a clearance, Clarence?
surely you can't be serious.
Stop calling me Shirley.
look, a lot of people say he's in the side for his groundwork when the ball comes to ground, but I think it's time for us to go back to a traditional ruck, and even if it's time to try Fort. In the VFL games, Fort did his fair share of ball work when the ball hit the ground, so there's no reason picking Asava over Fort or even Stanley for that point. Stanley stiff to be dropped over Asava in his performance against Collingwood. I'm all for giving him games as we need to give youth games, but I think it's time to settle our ruck position. They will continue with Asava.
Yeah, I think that they will. I mean, all those points are valid. I just think, I don't know that you, somebody like Radigalia, I don't know that you can just sort of go, oh, look, here are his stats and they're not great, therefore he's not offering anything to the team. He's not a player that I think you can judge by stats.
No.
He gives them a bit of flexibility. The one thing that he is aggressive in the ruck. So, and he's a real burst. Stanley's not aggressive. That's probably his biggest downfall. I don't know that he really loves the ruck. He's not an aggressive player.
Because it's not his nature either. He's a pretty...
And Sara Radigalia is how would you describe his personality? He's quite a...
not passive, but...
No, he's quite a quiet sort of bloke. But he is
he's
the
got
bloke
a little bit of mongrel in him.
When he plays, he has. He loves to put the knee in and I think that's what
he's
the
combative.
Coaching staff love. And then he's a real burst player. So... I just don't know that to say, oh, he, you know, Radigalia has had this and this and this, and then therefore he's not really offering much. I don't know that that's fair. he can go forward and take a mark, and they do like his aggressive nature in the ruck, which is something that they don't have. See, now, Blitzarves, when he goes into the ruck, isn't aggressive.
Mm.
He's not really a ruckman either.
No.
So we've got two blokes playing the ruck who aren't really ruckmen, but one of them likes to jump into the other bloke opposite him and put his knee in, and that's what you need.
I reckon Blitzarves has been better at finding the footy since...
A little bit.
...the break?
Yeah, a little bit. You don't... Geez, you don't want him finding too much of it sometimes, though.
He's kicking.
Oh, he can cock it up, yeah. That's his little issue when he plays in the ruck and around the ball is he doesn't have sort of great awareness as a midfielder, and his skills, he just makes bad decisions, and then that's multiplied by the fact that he'll kick it skew if, and then you've got real problems.
Just chasing Kingy's thoughts on a couple of VFL guys. How is Nathan Kruger tracking? He's now being played in defence, and his closing speed versus his opposition is very good. Also, Nick Stevens seems to have put together a very consistent first year at the Cats. Kruger got hurt last week.
He did, yeah.
With a back issue.
Yeah, so I don't know whether...
I just don't know with Nathan Kruger. I've watched a bit of VFL, but nothing's caught my eye to say yes. Now, the Cats obviously saw something. He missed his draft. He wasn't drafted draft year. Geelong went and did a deal with Carlton that took Carlton's priority pick in 2018, so his third season on the list. And you never really hear him mentioned in dispatches for a senior debut. I know he's had some injury issues, but...
Well, he hasn't played much this year.
No. Well, the VFL haven't played much this year. Yeah, full stop.
No, that's true. But he did, when they were playing early on the year, he wasn't playing.
No,
he was
a
injured.
Couple, yeah. He's out of contract? I just don't know.
The only thing that might save him is that Geelong need to start developing in fast some key defenders.
Well, they drafted him as a forward.
Well, this to Connings, they drafted him as a defender and they seem to be playing everywhere but, don't they?
Yeah, he's not playing in the ruck in the VFL. No, he's playing back in the VFL.
Yeah, so he needs to be developed as a defender. Yeah. Kruger's the other one they've tried to develop as a defender simply because there was no spot. Getting Cameron, Hawkins, Radigalea up forward, there's no spot for him. So they've tried to make... He's also learning a new position. I know he hasn't played much in defence, I don't reckon. Mm. He's one that... I mean, he's probably a little bit like, you know, Ryan Gardner. I mean, Ryan Gardner was what? How long was this for? What, 5 years?
Yeah,
he actually could not get a game.
Joel Hamling, who else? Jeremy Laidler, guys
these
like that.
These guys, if you just keep and Geelong don't have, Geelong have got to find some young kids to play in defence beyond in 3 years' time.
Yep.
So that might save him, but he's athletic.
Mm.
He can take a mark. He's courageous. I mean, he's one of those kids that might just take a bit longer to put it all together, but I don't know if you'd want him then going somewhere else.
And dominating.
In defence, and Geelong have got, you know.
Yep. Nick Stevens seems to put
Len together... Len Gandini in defence.
Very consistent first year. Yeah, he has. Nick Stevens is going to be a good player. He's a very... Cats like him. Very handy pickup.
Mature age, is he?
No. Nick Stevens was out of his draft year.
Oh, was he? He the 21?
Yes, he's the 21. Yep.
Saw him run into the open goals and miss it on...
Don't judge him on that.
No, hopefully not.
Don't judge him on that.
You've got to eat them. If you're running into the open goals, you've got to drill them.
Daz Broncos, fantastic call last week and great to see you get coverage on the wider media platforms. Yes, we were.
Oh, did it?
Well, whenever Geelong win a thriller after the siren, all the media want copies of...
Oh, did you get the Rowan goal in?
The AFL 360.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
A little mesh up, so that was nice.
Oh, he did hear that 360. There seems to be a little bit of... Love for Jason Dunn. I don't watch it, but Jason...
No, Jason Dunn still is outstanding.
And they're looking to try and... Everyone wants him on there full time.
They want to give Robbo the Tijuana.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's poor Robbo. He's copped an absolute height. He had that unfortunate scenario with the dodgy connection with Nathan Buckley's press conference.
Oh, that was horrific.
Yeah, and everybody's jumping all over him. Tom Stewart, that is the tweet, say no more, but given it's a podcast. How good is Brad Close's game sense and nous with the ball? He seems to have been the innate Chappie-esque footy sense that he does the right thing most times. He's a good player.
He is, yeah, and he's only going to get better. He's played, we've mentioned it before, he's probably 25 games, if that.
20?
20 games, yeah. He's wait till he gets to sort of 60 or 70, which is a few years away, but... he's fitted. He's sort of gone in the back door, hasn't he?
Yep.
And then hasn't gone back out it. You're sort of expecting him initially to be, oh, yeah, he'll be a bit of a bros, bit of sort of a one-hit wonder, and he'll go back to the twos and do his time. And well, he's got in and he hasn't got out.
No, he's a good player. I want to put the hand up and credit where it's due for Gary Rowan. I've been hard on him, but he needs to be credited for turning it around, lifted his game this year, full credit to him. See, I still thought Gary Rowan was pretty good last year. He had some shockers, but he had some pretty good ones as well.
He did.
But this year he's been... So I think he's got 22 goals for the year, which is equal to what he kicked last year. So he's done that in, what, 11 or 12 games? No, what are we? 13 games.
It's been very good.
And he's, I think his career high in a season is 25.
So we'll go past that.
He's going to go past that. He'll, if he has it, so if, say, Cameron has... Cameron and Hawkins both have 55, 60 goal seasons, which is not without in the realms of possibility. I think Hawkins is on about 30. Cameron's on 25.
What was it, 9 games to go?
Yep. So if they average three a game from... Cameron's been averaging 3 a game.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true.
You know, Hawkins averages 2.5. That gets you to 50,
yep.
55. Those two have 55. Rowan has a 35 to 40. You get 100. So you did the stats a few years ago, didn't you, about the player stat? If you have 350 goal kickers, did you do those numbers a few years ago?
Oh, I remember that. A few teams have done it.
Yeah, like Melbourne. Melbourne in 94 had Djakovic,
Gary Lyon,
and Schwartz, was it? And then there was somebody else that had
more
done.
More recently,
was it the Eagles with Darling, Kennedy, and not Cripps?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
but both teams went very deep, and like there was a good side. I remember you going, I'll give him a bench. He did some research.
Yeah. I was all over it that week, King. I was absolutely all over it.
Some time on, yeah.
I did. I was having some sort of oscopy. That would be huge. That would be huge. And I mean, we've said it before, just beneficiary of Jeremy Cameron coming into the team. He gets the next best defender. You know, you can't sort of double team and zone off and sag off in front of everybody, and they probably pick their poison a little bit. They try and get in the front of Hawkins and Cameron, and that leaves Rowan, who is, you know, he's playing with confidence too. That's the other thing. That we spoke about on Friday night was that bar a few earlier rounds where Tommy Hawkins was a little bit skew-iff in front of goal, you've got three guys who are really good kicks for goal.
Yep.
You know, I think Rowan's 22 goals, not many. Cameron is 25-8.
Yep.
I think he kicked 2-1, yeah. And Hawkins, if you took out a few games where he's a little bit off, he's actually...
He's about 30-22 or something like that.
Yeah, and I reckon there's a lot of those, if, you know, probably two or three games have compiled a lot of those 22 points.
Yep.
He's actually been pretty good. So if you're converting, you really hurt the opposition. And if you're a good set shot kick for goal, if you've got three blokes that are good at it, just puts pressure on the opposition and they make the most of opportunities, which is absolutely crucial.
30-25, 25-9 and 22-8.
That's huge.
Three of them. Yep.
25-9 and 22-8,
yep.
That is massive.
Yep.
Absolutely massive. And Tom Hawkins, even though you probably say, oh, he's missed a few there, he has those, every now and then he'll have a really bad day for whatever reason, but he's actually quite a good set shot for goal.
Yep. Cats have used 34 players.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go, King.
Yep.
So, and the other one too is Myers. I know he's not playing, but he's a sharpshooter.
Yep.
He doesn't miss. Close is not bad, although he's not great from set shot. It's probably not his go. General play's pretty good. So they've got some guys who...
9 goals, 5 for Close, and Myers was 7-5 yet.
Yeah. He's really good in general play, Myers. He's a real sharp shooter. But it's a really... Because not every club has that. No. I mean, if you look at the Bulldogs, Aaron Norton, not a great set shot for goal. You look up at Brisbane, Joe Hipwood. Danaher.
Hipwood's not.
Hipwood can be a little bit hit and miss. He can be good, but he can be pretty poor. Melbourne have got a couple. McDonald's straight.
So Norton's 29-27. For the year.
Yeah, he misses a lot.
Whereas Bruce is 37-11.
Yeah,
Bruce has had 8 less shots but kicked 8 more goals.
Yeah. Well, that's what if you're playing up forward, you've got to be a good exponent at shooting at the big white ones because it just makes you're worth your weight in gold if you can do that. Otherwise, if you're missing, I mean, Joe Danaher, he'll probably kick 6 straight this week now that I've mozzed him, but you know, he kicks it all over the place. And he does some really good stuff, but doesn't always get the reward for it. And it lets the opposition off too. Yep. You know, someone takes a mark at a crucial time, you're thinking, oh, that's going to be a goal. He misses it. It's like, oh, hang on, we're still in this. It can just change the whole dynamic of a game if you've got blokes who are pretty good at kicking the big sausage rolls.
Absolutely. We're done. We 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Over and out.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.